Today is Wednesday, July 6, 2011, at Shippensburg Bible School. Today we'll be hearing from our brother Garth Mayer on the topic of the truth affirmed. Today's class is entitled Sin and the Nature of Man, the Devil.
Well, good morning again, dear young people and brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the subjects I think that oftentimes when we're speaking to the world without, and even amongst ourselves, that we kind of go, oh boy, we got into the subject of the devil with somebody at school or work or something. This is going to take a long time explaining to them because of what the preconceived ideas are of Christendom. And I appreciate that, you know, having come from that system. I will suggest to you, however, what I believe, and I'll set before you today, might be an easier path for you personally to understand the subject at hand, and I don't know how far we'll get into Satan. We have a reputation of moving through slides very quickly. I know. Shocking, isn't it? The Spirit speaketh expressly. There's some points here I want you to grab that should make this a whole lot easier for you. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So there is clearly a connection between departing from the faith and doctrines of devils. Start with that simple foundation. A departing from the faith and giving heed to doctrines of devils. Lay that as a foundation. John 8. He that he is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. And the Jews said to Christ, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus said, I have not a devil. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall not see death, or death ages abiding. And the Jews said, we know now for sure you have a devil. Abraham is dead. The prophets are dead. So there's something about the Jewish concept of a devil that is very unique in the doctrine that they associated here. And I want you to notice this little bullet point. That's the word I was looking for here at the bottom. Because with any subject of the Bible, we want to start at the beginning. And certainly with the subject of the devil. There is 4,000 years of Bible history, and demon possession, now we know that you have a devil. 4,000 years of Bible history, and no devil in the Old Testament. I want you to stop and think about that. Because as the Christadelphian, we can overlook that sometimes. Where's the devil in the Old Testament? Where is he in the life of Abraham? In Noah? In Isaac and Jacob? Where is he? Where is he with King David? Where is this devil, 4,000 years of silence of this devil? And the Jews say, you're crazy. You have a devil. You said that no man will ever die. You're beside yourself. You have a devil. Abraham's dead. The prophets are dead. Something developed during this period of 4,000 years that got the Jews to believing this. Don't shy away from the subject of the devil. I suggest to you, know what it is doctrinally and address it properly. 4,000 years, silence of the devil. Why is that? Like all things, we start in Genesis, don't we? And we work our way through the Bible just like any book is read from the beginning to the end. So let's have reference back to the Old Testament. Remember, this is what occurs in John chapter 7. Did not Moses give you a law, and none of you keep the law? Why go you about to kill me? And the people answered and said again to Jesus, thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Of course they did in their hearts. They just didn't know that he knew that. Here again is the accusation of Christ. And the NIV has it demon-possessed. And we know what's meant by that phrase. You're possessed with a devil. You're crazy is what it means. 4,000 years, this never happens until we meet Christ in the New Testament. Matthew 18, verse 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he hath a devil. He's demon-possessed. 4,000 years, and now we have John Baptist. John chapter 10. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down voluntarily, willingly by myself, and therefore I have power to lay it down and to take it again. This commandment I received of the Father, and there was a division among the Jews, saying, many of them, he has a devil, and he is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, he doesn't have a devil. He's opened the eyes of the blind. Some said, he's mad and has a devil. And some said, he doesn't have a devil. He can even open the eyes of the blind. There's great confusion about this subject of the devil that comes crashing onto the scene after the Old Testament scriptures. Lovely little pictures. Now that's a nice overhead, isn't it? You're impressed with that. It took me days to do that. Where did this concept of the devil come from? Everybody familiar with the popular depiction of the devil? You know, he's got the goat horns and all that. It came from the Bible. Here's how it reads in Leviticus. Does anybody have an NIV version in here? Anybody reading an NIV or an RSV? You have an NIV? Would you please turn up this reference? Because I'm going to read it here as it appears on the screen, then I want you to read it in your version. We know that Israel turned to idolatry. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7. They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. They shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils. Four times it appears in the Old Testament, always in the plural form. In the NIV, please. Speak loud, if you would, please.
They must no longer offer any other sacrifices to go to idols, whom they prostitute themselves. This is to be a lasting ordinance for them and for the generations.
You see what his version has? Goat idols. Remember, devils and the possession of demons and idol possession comes into play in the New Testament, not in the Old. Your King James Version has here devils. Your NIV and other translations have goat idols. And this was the depiction of the foreign deities that was worshipped in the land. And that's why popular Christendom has this picture of the devil that is part man, part goat. That was the idol that the people of the land worshipped. That's where the concept comes from. And the NIV has it correctly in alternate translations. The word devils, this same word translated in this verse, is translated 20 times in the Old Testament as goat. It's Seir. As in, Jacob was born, and Esau came out hairy like a garment. Goat. Seir. Devil. 2 Chronicles 11. And by the way, in every instance where this appears, it is always referring to false gods. There is no way for the churches of Christendom to get around that. There is no way for anyone with the slightest bit of honesty in them to get away from the fact that the four occurrences of devils, plural, in the Old Testament is always referring to, in every case, false gods. So that when you move into the New Testament, that is a very significant argument. And I will respectfully suggest to you the easiest way to totally destroy Christendom's modern concept of the devil. So we read, get your NIV ready if you would please, 2 Chronicles 11, verse 15. RSV would do us just as well too. And Jeroboam ordained him priest. Remember, the kingdom split under Rehoboam and Jeroboam. the son of Solomon, and then Jeroboam took the 10 tribes. And idolatry and idolatrous worship began in the northern kingdom. And he ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils and calves that they made. Now, just put aside even what the NIV has on that. The context itself is going to tell you devils and calves, which they made for worship, that it's probably not a real God. It's probably an idol. But the NIV has, would you read that for us, young man? There we go. Thank you. For the goat and the calf idols that he have made. So you know what that's telling us? The translators of the Bible agree with the Christadelphians. Not Christendom. We actually study the Bible. The actual foreign god was called Pan. He's called the god Pan. He was the devil that dwelt in the forest, half goat, half man, had little horns. You ever hear this word? Modern English word used today. Pan, demon, pandemonium. That's where that word came. And what pandemonium means? Chaos. The people are crazy. And I'll tell you this, young people. I didn't get this stuff from Christadelphians. You've heard me say before, I came from the world without. My wife and I spent a long time at the libraries digging this stuff out of factual books. Not one of them disagreed with what we believe on the concept of the devil. Is that amazing? Imagine how it shocked me. That's where we get that word, pandemonium. Pandemonium. Craziness. Thou art mad and hast a devil. John came and said, he is mad, crazy, and he has a devil. And they said, thou art a Samaritan, thou art beside thyself, thou hast a devil. Demon-possessed, this is where it is rooted. Old Testament is where it begins. Seir is the actual translation of that word, devil. And according to Bullfinch's Book of Mythology, that we dug up in the library, it says this, a race of immortal goat men that dwelt in the woodlands. Well, now, what does Christendom teach concerning the devil? He's some immortal goat man. And you find he's playing a harp here, trying to lure this woman away from a path. That's what the Pan demon god was all about in idolatrous worship. What does Christendom teach? There's this devil, external, trying to draw you away from God to the ways of evil. We know we already have it within us. We need the external source of the Bible to put in us to make us do righteousness. The complete opposite concept. It is translated in this case, and I'm going to prove this, and your margin will back this up, Isaiah 13. Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It's going to be laid waste, the Babylonian kingdom. It shall never be inhabited. It shall not be dwelt in from generation to generation. Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and satyrs, Seir, goats, same word, will dance there. Your margin will tell you that is quoted in Revelation chapter 18, which now takes this word, goats or seirs or satyrs, and translates it this way, right out of this cross reference. Your margin will prove this. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, Babylon the great is fallen, just as the natural Babylon is fallen. So the mystical Babylon, the Roman Catholic system, will fall. And what does it say? It's become a habitation of not satyrs, devils, it says in your New Testament Bible. Is everyone following this so far? Pretty amazing stuff. Psalm 106. They did not destroy the nations. Here now we're going to find the development of how this came into Israel's worship. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom Yahweh commanded them, but they were mingled among the heathen, learned their works, served their idols, which were a snare unto them, sacrificing their sons and their daughters unto devils, shedding innocent blood, sacrificing their sons and daughters unto the idols of Canaan. Idols, devils, synonymous terms. Instead of going into the land and influencing the people, they went into the land, and what happened? They were influenced by them and their false form of worship, which is called idolatry, and here it's called worshiping their devils. They did it so much that they even sacrificed their children, sons and daughters, in fire unto the false gods. Does anybody want to take a guess where they did that? Where did they offer their sons and daughters in sacrifice? We'll get to it in just a moment if no one knows the answer. If you think you know, you... The Valley of Hinnom, which is translated in the New Testament as hellfire. That's exactly what the churches believe. They have taken wholesale the idol worship that is clearly spoken of in the Old Testament and instituted as a common belief of their religious system today. That's what popular Christianity has done. I've talked with plenty of people in work and I've been associated with. They have no answer for this. Deuteronomy 32. Here's the fourth of the last of the four references, it appears. They provoked God to jealousy with strange gods. Abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to gods which came newly up, who our fathers had no knowledge of. There's the fourth and final reference. Will everyone agree with me? Every reference to devils in the Old Testament is dealing with idols. Anyone have a problem with that? It's pretty clear, isn't it? In every case, it's in the plural form, and in every case, it's referring to false gods. So when Christendom wants to believe in devils, fine. Let's go back to the Old Testament and find out what devils were. They were false idols. False worship. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh. They served Balaam, Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon. They were so incredibly confused about their form of worship. It's not only in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Does anyone want to read this for us? Out loud? You can just read it directly from the screen. Would you like to read it?
Not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We being many are one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils.
And I've even asked, thank you very much, I've even asked somebody that I worked with a few years ago. I said, now, will you admit to me that devils is synonymous with idols in this context? Absolutely beyond a doubt. He's referring to partaking of the table of idols, partaking of the table and fellowship with devils, as they're used directly, interchangeably there. And he said, yeah, there's no question about it. He's talking about false worship, which was a problem with the Corinthians, wasn't it? We're not talking about some supernatural being sweeping down and whispering in your ear and influencing you to do evil. If you're like me, you're pretty good at doing that on your own. And here is the context, clearly, even from the New Testament, where devils and idols, just like Revelation 18, are clearly synonymous. Its birth is in the Old Testament. Don't shy away from the subject. Understand the subject. Apocalypse chapter 9. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, comma, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which neither see nor hear nor can walk. Are we all in agreement? Clearly the reference to devils there is idols. No doubt about it, is it? There is no doubt about it. The context is to idolatry. Don't shy away from the subject. Understand it. Acts 17. Now, while Paul waited in Athens, his spirit was stirred within him. When he saw the whole city given to idolatry, King James Version, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with devout persons. And some said, what will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be the setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Your literal Greek means to fear demons, devils. Pandemonium, desidemonian. He saw the whole city given to idolatry, and the question was the setting forth of strange gods, and he said, you are all too superstitious. Isn't it remarkable that the King James Version word, too superstitious, actually is desidemonian? Too superstitious literally means you're afraid of devils. It's remarkable. You can't massage it away. You can't translate it away. You can't change. It's a fact. One of those frustrating, stubborn things that men call facts. The whole city was given to idolatry, and Paul said, you're afraid of demons? Here we go. If you don't believe me, here's a little piece I ripped out of the Bible. Simple study of the words in the background of the subject of demon possession and Israel's gradual adoption of the pagan doctrine is clear from the scriptural record as well as history. The Amplified Bible translates reverent to demons. And you'll notice here, strange gods, full of idols. This is for my daughter. She has the RV King James, you know, where the versions, they split where the, it's a very nice wide margin version. You can get it from the Christadelphian office. Demons, full of idols. There it is, taken right from Acts chapter 17. He seemeth to be the setter forth of strange gods. Even the translators will tell you, full of idols. It's a stubborn fact for Christendom. I say again, don't run away from the subject. Understand it. It will help us immensely. And I'll tell you, it really helps you when you're talking the truth to people, because they immediately start not questioning you, but what they've been taught all these years. What in the world have I been taught all these years? See, they don't have to prove any of this. It's already preconceived in their mind. All they have to do is say, the devil's going about. That's texting for you. Devil's going about trying to make you sin. And they've got you, because they don't need to prove it. It's already in there as a preconceived idea. It doesn't require any proof from anyone in the congregation of the churches. When we go to the Bible, the doctrine is destroyed. There is no sustaining it at all anywhere in the Scriptures. So, This is from Funk and Wagnall's Encyclopedia. This shows you how selective I was in pulling this up. This is the volume about 175 years old that I grew up with. When I grew up with, we didn't have internet, and we had a set of encyclopedias. So when I started learning the truth, I thought, what is all this craziness? So I went to the encyclopedia set that I had sitting in my own bedroom, stowed away up in the closet. Devils. This is what it said in this version. In later Hebrew and Christian belief, the supreme spirit of evil, who for an immeasurable time has ruled over a kingdom of evil spirits and is in constant opposition to God. That's exactly what the churches believe. Note what it says in the encyclopedia. This floored me. The belief in such a spirit developed very gradually in Hebrew theology and was affected by extra-national influences, the influence of other nations. That's what we've just been reading. How the influence of other nations changed the belief system in Israel. There is no indication in the scriptures that the Hebrews that lived before the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah and Daniel, had any concept of evil spirits as beings that were separated from God. The angels of scripture, who foretold and executed God's will, were considered the instruments of physical but never moral evil. That's exactly what we believe. I'm not done. In the Apocrypha, which of course we reject, which reveals the Chaldean, the Persian, the Egyptian, and the Greek or Alexandrian influences, the older Hebrew doctrines of misfortune disappear, and demons or evil spirits are for the first time mentioned as the authors of calamities. Hebrew demonology was widely disseminated and in the New Testament contains distinct recognition of its prevalence in popular belief, particularly to the attributing of diseases to the agency of evil spirits. And the man fell down, foaming at the mouth, epilepsy, possessed with a devil, it says in the New Testament. And many came among him sick with grievous diseases, possessed with devils. Never exists in the Old Testament until they went into Babylonian captivity, then Persian influence, then Greek influence, and in the New Testament, there it appears. And I can assure you this is not written by a Christadelphian. Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. Not happy enough with that quote? How about this one? In considering the question of demonology in the Bible, it must be borne in mind from the outset that the modern definition of a demon as a devil or a malign spirit is the result only of a long development. International Encyclopedia. The post-exilic era, after Israel went into exile, when they were taken captive by the Babylonians, after they were into exile, foreign domination and oppression appear to have been a major factor in stimulating Jewish thought to focus on the problem of the origin of sin. Evil began to be traced increasingly not directly to Yahweh himself, and I didn't transliterate that. The encyclopedia used the memorial name. But rather to supernatural beings. That's why it appears in the New Testament. McKinsey's Dictionary of the Bible. Go to any library, look it up on your own, and you find out if what we believe is sustained by historical fact. And you will find absolutely 100% is. Judaism of the intertestamental period between the Old and the New Testament exhibits a very active belief in demons, which is in many respects derived from Mesopotamia, Babylon, demonology. Beliefs about the evil influence of demons especially in causing ills, where it first appears in the Old Testament, or New Testament, I'm sorry, and misfortunes were borrowed by the Jews wholesale and almost without alteration from Mesopotamia. They took it from the foreign nations, which is why you see it all over the New Testament and never in the Old Testament. All you get in the Old Testament is the beginning of their beliefs of adopting this because they mingled among the nations and learned their idolatrous form of worship. Is everybody following me so far? If you're not, I'll be happy to clarify. Is everyone following me? It's not too complex, is it? Start in the Old Testament with the subject of the devil. Don't start in Revelation. Start in the Old Testament scriptures, where it began. One more quote for you. Bible Almanac. And there's a reason. And I'm sorry about the laborious quoting here, but there's a reason I'm giving you a bunch of outside sources here. That had a major impact on me. When I was coming from the world outside, I couldn't believe this group called Christadelphians were not only scripturally right, yeah, I can see it in the Bible. But then I went to check it in the library. And after I was married, my wife and I checked a lot of these things in the library. And I thought, this is incredible. You mean they know this and the churches still teach it? This is a marvelous thing. Elements of pagan religion began to fill voids created by skepticism and doubt. For example, the Jews who were in dispersion, diaspora, became fascinated with demons and angels. They qualified biblical belief in a creator who was in sovereign control of his creation by adopting Persian views of the universe with an elaborate spirit world and an ongoing war between the forces of light and darkness. You ever talk to somebody from goes to church or anything like this? Isn't this exactly what they believe? This is exactly what they believe. It's God against the devil. Somehow the devil stole power from God, like that's possible, used it to rebel against him, take a band of angels, and there's this warfare going on in the spirit world. There's this fight going on for souls. God is trying to get you to do right, and the devil and his demons are trying to get you to do evil. It came from an idol background, and Christendom believes it. Then was brought unto him, how much time, where are we at? 10 minutes, okay, because I've got some dandy overheads. Then was brought unto Jesus one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Now you ask yourself, before I go into the last part of this verse, there's a saying in the world, if you're going to drink the Kool-Aid, drink the whole cup. We take our doctrines and we take them all. And we believe every bit of them. And we prove them every single verse. You know what? If you're Christendom and you believe the devil, you drink the doctrine, drink it all. So anyone who's blind or deaf is possessed by a devil? I've used that argument. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Not everyone, really. And when you take him to the doctor, a physician who may even be an atheist and he gets better, what happened? According to your Bible, which you insist on reading this as a supernatural force, anyone with a physical ill is in that condition because he was possessed by a supernatural spirit called your devil. You either drink part of the Kool-Aid or you drink it all. And they're never willing to do that. So the Jews say, when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this Jesus Christ doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Let the Bible be its own dictionary. Let it define itself. We have yet to need to do anything other than that. We need to find out one thing, don't we? If the Jews, after being in dispersion, believed that the cure came by the casting out of supernatural spirits. We know this also. They believed in Beelzebub. This we know for certain. Who they called the prince of the devils. Who is Beelzebub? Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down. He's injured. Notice this. Fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber in Samaria, king of the northern kingdom, who never had a righteous king, who were the most influenced by the false gods in the nations, fell sick. And he sent messengers saying, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this disease or not. And the angel said of Yahweh to Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say unto him, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Elijah the prophet is rebuking the king for seeking a source of healing from the God of the Philistines, Ekron, to be healed. This man can't cure anybody except it be by Beelzebub. Either you drink the Kool-Aid wholesale or not at all. Christendom has got to believe then the same of what the Jews believed after being dispersed among the nations. And if they're willing to accept that, they're in the same position of the king of Samaria who was rebuked. This is from the Smithsonian magazine. And the devil in general, the devil with a capital D, as opposed to legions or lowercase devils, demons, satyrs, fiends, and so on, first entered human history less than 3,000 years ago. Really? I thought he was back in the garden. The Smithsonian, our most respected source of all the hobsnob elites in this country. The Old Testament, which was composed between the 10th and 3rd centuries, has little trace of the devil with a capital D in its earliest books. That's what I said. The serpent who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden was later identified by Jewish rabbis and Christian church fathers with the devil and the principle of evil. But in the 3rd chapter of Genesis, you know, actually the Bible, he's only a snake. Just the facts, ma'am. That's all we want, is just the facts. Christendom, historians, your own translators of your Bible, like NIV and RSV, they will all tell you where this system of belief came from. I want to secure you in your faith in what you believe, and there's a lot to be determined and read out after this, and again, you can get it from a zip stick. I'll put all these classes on there for you. Think about that. How obvious this is. The first devil, the first concentration of all evil in a single personal form, appears in history sometime before the 6th century. Persian. And it mentions who his name is. The Jews, under the Persian domination for almost 2 centuries, it is likely that this false god had some influence on the information, or the formation rather, of the figure of their Satan. And so it is. We find that all over the place. I'm going to try and get to a quick one for you on I got about 4 minutes, 3 minutes.
If you put those up, wait a second, they're on the video, and people can go back and get the video.
Okay, yeah, you can go back and get them. I'm trying to move on to a Satan reference for you here. Because I want to prove the same real quick under this section of Satan. Sorry, I thought I broke these down to this point. But you're going to find this, if I could have the young man over there pull up Psalm 109 with the NIV. I want to show you a reference here dealing with Satan. Smithsonian Magazine deals with Satan as well. Here you go. Psalm 109. Going to do the same thing. You're going to start in the Old Testament. Okay? Does that show up pretty well in the overhead? Can you kind of see this where I got adversary? It's small on my screen here. This is what Psalm 109, we'll end with this, what Psalm 109 says. They compass me round about, Psalm of the Messiah, obviously, with words of hatred. They fought against me without a cause. My love, they are my adversaries, Hebrew Satan. And let Satan stand at his right hand. In your margin here, has, in your King James Version of the Bible, has, let Satan stand at his right hand. It's the same word here, adversary, Satan, adversary, adversary. All in the same psalm, Psalm 109, okay? It says adversary in the margin, and we'll tell you verse 4, verse 20, verse 29. Verse 4, verse 20, verse 29, okay? So the same word is translated uniformly, except for when you come to verse 6, where it says, let Satan stand at his right hand. Would you read verse 9 from your NIV? Psalm 109, verse 6, I'm sorry. Psalm 109, verse 6.
Appoint an evil man to oppose him, let the accuser stand at his right
hand. And down in the RSV it has, as he just read, let an accuser stand before him, appoint a wicked man against him, but let an accuser bring him to trial. There's your RSV. Even the translators of the Bible agree with the Christadelphians. In the King James, it will tell you it's a capital Satan, but really refer to the margin because it should be adversary. And in the NIV and the RSV, they literally just do away with the supernatural influence and intention of it all, and they just put for you an accuser in both cases. Just study it out. Look at it, scrutinize the biblical record. By all means, turn it up historically, which will only solidify what it is we believe is the one true faith on this subject. And has to be at this point. That's all we have time for. Thank you for your attention.